So one of the pictures is a picture right after Schefter got pulled into the wearing tefillin controversy. Yeah. So Robinson Schefter dressed up for Purim wearing a talis and tefillin. So that's just one of the many pictures that rotates.
Not real
tefillin.
What?
Wasn't real. I'm sure it's a possible talis as well, but it makes for a funny picture.
They didn't quit tefillin.
Was it like clean up routine? Yeah.
Like it. The hafla is chalamay tzelim. Sorry? The hafla is chalamay tzelim. With that part, yes.
Is that
okay?
Sorry?
The hafla said, Shpritzvon, that part. So the Baal of Flo is a Rav in Frankfurt. He was a Hasidic Shabbat. He became the Rav in Frankfurt after the Kli Baguette. He was in a bind because Hakkad Chassid wore tzelim chalamay in Frankfurt. Everyone tzelim chalamay. He wore tzelim. And after he passed away, the Baal Batim asked where his tefillin, and then the person who was in charge of the house said, "You want to see the regular tefillin or the Chol Moed tefillin?" And they opened up the Chol Moed tefillin, and they found there were no parshas in it.
But see, it was Chassid Shem Kehila, they all started doing that.
What I'm going to try to do today is just run through a number of halachas that we have in the beginning of Shulchan Aruch Aben Ezer as relate to various permissible or impermissible unions. I'll just try to be mashma, we haven't covered yet, and then next week in Rav Hashem we'll move on to actual Seder Kedushin and filling out a ksuba and related issues. So in the end of Siman Aleph in Aben Ezer, if Tess, the Mechaber tells us based on the Gemara in Yevamos, So technically speaking, the Gemara says you're allowed to marry many women as long as you can support them. But good idea not to marry more than four. Where the practice is only to marry one wife, you're not allowed to be nosei ish al isha, you can't have more than one wife, so that is our practice. And then Sifyud, the Mechaber tells us, Rabbeinu Gershom, Hefrim al nosei as ishto, nosei al ishto, so it's a chaymer Rabbeinu Gershom, one of the most famous charam de Rabbeinu Gershom, against marrying more than one wife. Okay, so there's some discussion as to whether the chaymer was only up to a certain point in time or not, but was it only up to the Elif HaChamishi? The Therma says, "Bikamakam v'chomadinas elu hatakana v'minam v'mkama omeid." So, bottom line, the Therma says that we are still concerned in noe chayim v'nu yersham v'eino sinshtei nashim v'kofim v'charamos v'niduyim misha over v'no sinshtei nashim. A person does it, so we throw the book against him. Then I don't have an Eben Ezer here that's all of Eben Ezer?
My current line is. I email you if you want a copy. Got it.
PDF also.
And it's fine. Okay. So then the part of this here, part of this is Simon Kuf Yutes. So what I'm going to quote now is more in Simon Kuf Yutes that I have in front of me. But there is an institution of the Hetamei Rabbanim. Hetamei Rabbanim classically is relevant in a situation in which there should have been a Chayrim Bin Agershim. There is a Chayrim Bin Agershim that be Nosei Yishal Ishto. But under certain circumstances, you can relax the Chayrim Bin Agershim with the Hetamei Rabbanim Migimel Aratzos. And what are the circumstances where Hetamei Rabbanim might be warranted? So the two general categories are either by a woman who's a nishtates, a woman who is incapable of receiving a get, and typically a woman who's in a compromised medical situation where she's unable to receive a get. In the most extreme, someone's in a rachmanu l'slan, a vegetative state with no help of recovery. So then if the husband wants the ability to remarry, there's an institution of hetamei rabbanim. And the other case, which is more difficult, is the case of Maredes. The Maredes, or Sugyas and Ksubas, that are difficult to define what's exactly a Maredes. Our Bezin stays away from ever issuing a Hetam Erevanim in the case of Maredes, but other Batei Din do. So that's the standard protocol where a Hetam Erevanim is issued, which should be few and far between. So we only would issue Hetam Erevanim in the case of Nishtates. So we've had maybe five cases in the last 20 years, where it reached that threshold. But the husband has to be mishalish a get. Should the wife ever recover, then the get's available for the wife to receive unconditionally, and then Hetamei Rabbanim could be executed. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. Unfortunately, this is something that's subject to abuse by unreputable Batei Din. Rav Moshe has a tshuva printed in Evan Ezer Chela Dalet Siman Gimel. So you can only be involved in Hetamei Rabbanim if they're going to be mashed to proper get. So it has to be available unconditionally for the woman to receive whatever she wants to receive it. Even if the Baal has tainus against her tfiya, still the get has to be available unconditionally. So to have a situation where the bezin is going to give the man a hetamei rabbanim, and the woman is going to be stuck without a get and without a possibility of receiving the get because the get hasn't been made available for her, that's a inappropriate, unexcusable takala. Even if she stole money from the husband, lo tikun. Low tikkun. So there, even there, Rabbeinu Gershon was mitzaken the ability for the husband to remarry without leaving a get for the wife. Fine. So that's Moshe's pretty unequivocal statement. So in the very unlikely situation that someone approaches the mitzvah kedushin with a hetamei rabbanim, you have to investigate and make sure that it was done by a reputable bezdin and that there was a get that they were mashlish for the first wife to receive. Rav Schefter quotes that Rabbi Fabian Schoenfeld told him that in Rabbi Schoenfeld's Zeigus and Schagas Micha, the Rav gave three charges to the Mizrachim. One of them was never to sign a hetamei rabbanim. So well, we had a few years ago a Hetamei Rabbanim case that Rav Schefter signed. We sent out to the list of Rabbanim. We sent it out to so Rabbi Schoenfeld called Rav Schefter and said, "Didn't the Rav tell us you're not allowed to sign a Hetamei Rabbanim?" So Rav Schefter said, "True, but in this case, I think it's appropriate." So Rabbi Schoenfeld said, "If you signed it, then I'll sign it." Okay, we have to make sure it's done by reputable bezdin following acceptable protocols. Okay, take a look at Siman Dalet in Evan Ezer. So it says in Siman Dalet Sif Hei, Yisrael Shabal Akas Me'elo Vlad Kamosa. So if Yisrael is Ba'al Anachris, so the Vlad is Anachri. V'echa Me'elo Chut Mimamzer Shabal Bas Yisrael Vlad Kasher Lakal. If it's Anachri who's Ba'al Bas Yisrael, the Vlad is Kasher. Elisha Pagam Lekahuna. The Vlad is kosher, but Pagam Lekahuna. Right, that's about Pagas Tanaim, Vlad kosher, Vlad Mamzer, or Pagam. So we say that the lad is kasha lakalva pagam lakuna. What does that mean, pagam lakuna? So the Beishmo writes over here in Sivkatan Beis, the Rif is mesupik whether the halacha they're pigum lakuna. The Rambam says that they're ksherim. Now it's questionable what the Rambam means. The Rambam is Yisurei via Paratesvav Halacha Gimel. Yisurei via Paratesvav Halacha Gimel. The Rambam writes, Akum ve'evet of Abbas Yisrael of Vlad Kasher Vein Penuya Vein Be'ejas Ish Vein Ha'onis Vein Be'ratzot. So Vlad is Kasher. So is that Kasher without qualification or Kasher but still Asa Lakuna? The Rambam is not explicit. That's machlokas among the Mefarshei Rambam, but the Beit Shmuel, of course, the Rambam is saying that they're sharing with that restriction. El Harash kasa dein pegumim lakuna. Now the Rush Yivamis Peridalit Simin Lamed. The Rush Peridalit Simin Lamed Yivamis says pegumim lakuna. So the product of an Evav Akam of Babas Yisrael is Aser Lakoi. Says the Beit Shmuel Psak Alach Nira Lachare Bidi Evav Emosi in Nisei Lakoi. Dala Rambam Kasher. So if they got married against the din is that the product of an eved of Akum of Avas Yisrael. If a non-Jewish father and a Jewish mother have a child, so the din is that that child, l'chachil, is not allowed to marry a kohen. If it's a girl, she can't marry a kohen. But if they got married against the din, you don't force them to divorce. That's what Bishmuel says. V'chein l'rif ha-ramban, a motziyin. So says the chalkas mechokek, here's sifkat and gimel, that it's a safek, from nisei slakoe, lo teitzei. Vavlad safik chalal, says the Chalkas Mechokek. The product of that union is going to be a safik chalal. So the safik chalal is worse in some ways than a regular chalal. Regular chalal, we don't treat as a kohen. So regular chalal is allowed to marry all the people that a kohen is not allowed to marry. A safik chalal, you have to be back in both directions. You don't give him the honors of a kuna, he can't do it, and he doesn't get the first aliyah. But he's also restricted from marrying those people that are not kohen eligible because maybe it's not a chalal. So safek chalal is the worst of both worlds. The Chalkas Mechokek says that itself is a machlokas haposkim. How do we treat the child of this union? L'chachila, they're not allowed to get married. Nisei slateitse. What's the din of the vlad? So that's machlokas haposkim. Do we treat this as a safek chalal? Maybe it's not even a safek. It's the Shuvah year of long discussion. Sifkat and Aleph. Some Rishonim have a mashmos that the product of an Eved V'Akam of Babas Yisrael requires a Geirus. So what does that mean? We assume we believe in we pass the matrilineal descent. So where does this Geirus come from? That's questionable. Sachronim have different explanations as to what it means. Is that a real Geirus? A quasi Geirus? Most folks could assume that's not necessary. There is something called the Kabbalah Skagris, which I don't know if you mentioned in the Geirish year, at the end of Simon Reis Samothes in Yerideo, the Ramah. If you have the product of a Jewish father and a non-Jewish mother who was raised as in another religion, they're raised in the church, and then they're Chozer Bechuva, so then there's something called the Kabbalah Skagris, which is pseudo-Geirish. You go to the mikvah in front of a Besdin, and you're Mekabel to live a from lifestyle in the Kanal Hava. So that we do have. But most poskim assume that there's no real need for a geirus for the product of a Jewish father and a non-Jewish mother, but they're lechachila not allowed to marry a kohen. So how do we? What about that din of nisei sloteise? So the Rav Moshe has a tshuva. Evan ezer chelak alu simen hay. Evan ezer chelak alu simen hay. About the product of a Jewish mother and non-Jewish father who married a Kohen civilly. So can you now have a halachic marriage? Is that called nisei sloteise? They're civilly married, but they haven't yet been halachically married, and now they want to have a halachic marriage. Is that nisei sloteise? So Moshe writes, so you do whether it's machlokas yishonim to begin with, whether it's pagum l'kahuna. And the Bishwa paskins and the chokas b'chokek, im nisei sloteise. But over here, they didn't yet get married halachically. So how can you call that nises? Right? After all, Moshe holds that Mikra did, you don't need a get for such a marriage. Because they weren't living an observant lifestyle. There's no Eidon Osa Bilas Abilas Nos. So how can you call that Nises? Even though sometimes Shasatka could be Evidami. So maybe here she calls a Shasatka because they already have a child from their marriage. So for the child, it's definitely a Shasatka. You're going to force the parents to separate. That's not good for the kid. Nevertheless, Moshe says, you still can't be Matir just based on that. As we're talking about, it's Vega Didina the Raisa. So how can you encourage them to stay together if they were never luckily married to begin with? So Moshe says, you should not be Mitzavah Kedushin for such a couple. Then Moshe says, if they're going to live together anyway, so maybe it's more kal to live together without Kedushin than with Kedushin as it is. Yes, that's Moshe's fact. That's not called in these days. Yeah, Judah.
I'm a little bit confused about the case, right? So the daughter is a project of an intermarriage for the father.
Right.
The father was the one who was not Jewish.
Correct.
And she married civilly a Kohen.
Right.
So what's the shot?
Can you do a Seder Kedusha now?
For them, like they want
for
they,
them.
Maybe they be, what they became from they just have
they became from one. Right or at least from enough they want to have a Seder Kedusha.
Okay.
That's the shot. So Moshe says no. That's not called the Nisei Zotei Se. Avi.
But if Hankin say that they could get a real Kiddushin because they're already
detected. In theory, Rav Hankin would be better positioned to argue that that's called Nises. Yeah. So the Sfardi Poskim are much more makel about this. Rav Avadia has a couple of chuvas. So for example, Chelek Zayin Evin Ezer Siman Tes. Yabi Omer Chelek Zayin Evin Ezer Siman Tes. So the shayla that he had was there's a young woman who came to the Roshim Nisuim. They wanted to get permission to get married in Israel. They both the young man and the young woman came from originally from Tehran. The mother of the girl claims that the father of the girl is a Nachri and the mother is Jewish. Okay. So the representation is that the prospective Kala is the product of an Akam Hava Bas Yisrael, which is also Lakuna. And the Bachar says that he's a Kohen. How does he know he's a Kohen? His father told him he's a Kohen. So the Bezin asked the father, how do you know he's a Kohen? So he said, in Persia, in Iran, they called him Kohen. But he doesn't really know for sure if he's a Kohen, because he never went to Shul except for Yom Kippur. And he never duchened, and no one ever referred to him as a Kohen. And then they asked him, did you do the Pidyon HaBen? So he said, no one in Iran did a Pidyon HaBen. So bottom line, he couldn't really prove that he's a Kohen to begin with. And then some aide came forward from the Persian community that he knew this guy's parents from Iran, and he knew that they weren't Kohanim. But they just called him Kohen because that was a title of respect, because the grandfather was one of the chashuvim of the community. And now the Bachar says, okay, so he's not a Kohen, so allow me to marry this girl. So in this case, they paskined, given that the guy doesn't really have evidence that he's a Kohen, and he has an amasa to explain why they thought they were Kohanim. And then he said he can throw into the mix the marshdam that nowadays all Kohanim are Sabbath Kohanim anyway, which you never rely on alone. And in this case, we don't really know for sure that the girl's father was a Nachri either. It's only the representation of the mother. And maybe she has no nemanis to apostle the kid. So that was the psak. Sorry, that was the psak of the Bezdin, the local Bezdin, and then they sent their analysis to Rav Avadia for his haskama. So now Shuvi Yavi Omer Chelek Zayin Evin Ezer Siman Tes. Rav Avadia agreed with their analysis. Svek Sveka. Maybe he's not a Kohen. And even if he's a Kohen, maybe the din's like the Rambam, that the Bat is Mutaris Kahuna. Okay, so that's an easier case. There he allowed them to marry L'chachila, but there is very questionable evidence whether the Kohen was a Kohen to begin with.
Was the second suffix of Rebbe? First, the suffix, maybe this guy's not a Kohen.
Right, and so the second suffix, Ledino, whether Machlokes Rishonim, whether the blood is Takos or Mary Kohen, according to the Rambam, according to the Muslim Frasha Rambam, there's no issue lacuna.
Okay,
so Shachanar Rukur Machmir Lechachil, we say Nisif Latesei. So Rabbi said that's the specs maker. Maybe he's not a Kohen. Even if he's a Kohen, maybe you assume like the Rambam that there's no issue lacuna anyway.
Was there also the suffix that this girl wasn't born from a Kohen?
So Ravadia didn't put as much stock in that, but there's also. Ravadia may go without that, yeah.
The suffix stemmed only from was it Marshtan?
The Marshtan, that all our Kohanim are suffix Kohanim.
There wasn't, so that was the suffix.
That was, no, so that's what that's what the local Bethan said. Ravadia is not working with that. Ravadia himself, you have to come on to that. Even without that brother Tzira, straight to Tzveka. Maybe he's not a Kohen, and even if he's a Kohen, maybe he's similar to the Rambam, that there's no Isser of the girl to marry a Kohen.
What was the reason why you thought it was a Kohen?
Because they had no evidence to prove he's a Kohen. No one, there's no Cheskas Kuna, the family never Dukan, the family never did anything that a Kohen does, and the only reason they believe they're Kohanim is because they had the name Kohen, which... But they never went to shul, never did anything. Okay. Ravadia's other shuvahs on this topic, Rav Amar had a shuvah in Shema Shlomo Chelek He Simen Ches. Chelek He Simen Ches. Where, if I recall correctly, Rav Amar was matir a marriage in such a case, even where they weren't yet married, not even civilly. They were, I don't remember if they were just engaged, if they were living together, but with definitely without the chuv of the kiddushin, because he thought that was enough of imnisei chotesei, the fact that they're living together already, or maybe even the fact that they're about to get married, is enough of a nisei chotesei for this. And if you look in, Rabbi Bleich wrote an article in Tradition, summer 2007, which I assume was reprinted since then in the latest volume of Contemporary Halakhic Problems, so I have a look for it, arguing with Rav Amar's psak. But our general, following Rav Moshe, the more standard approach among the Ashkenazi poskim, American poskim, is that niseis means niseis. So maybe you could do talk about whether civil marriage is niseis, but definitely anything less than that is not, and it would be a problem. So, before you go anywhere, the starting point is that the product of a non-Jewish father would be usher l'kohen. Okay, let's jump now to Simen Vav. Simen Hay is a Simen of Psuadaka, which is a problem, but we're not going to talk about the details of Psuadaka. Should that ever come up, you have to do your investigation. Simen Vav, Sif Aleph. Kohen Asim in a Torah Begusha Zona Bechalala. Right, so Kohen is not allowed to marry a Grusha Zona Chalala. The Asher Bechalusa Midirabana. So Kohen is not allowed to marry a chalutza if a woman received chalitza. Okay. Grusha, filo eina el safik, grusha sarach lehotzi bein eskarshim and eiris and bein eskarshim and nesuin. Filo reach aget posu lakuna. And you can't even marry, a Kohen can't even marry a woman where there's a reach aget. What's a reach aget? So that's the Gemara's classic example of Reya Chaget, then you say an halachically ineffective Lashon Gerushin that you're Megureshes Mimeni via Muteres Achal Adam. So that's the drasha isha grusha me isha filo enya grusha ela me isha. Still, that creates a reya haget. So even though this get is ineffective, she's not allowed to remarry on the basis of the get, but it creates a reya haget that's going to aser likahuna. So the big issue that comes up contemporarily is there a reya haget for a standard get l'chumra? So let's say you have a case of civil marriage. So our lechachil is always to require a get, even though mikra din, most folks can believe a get's not necessary. So lechachil to be, solve all problems, to be yotzei kol hadayos, to require a get. So does that get ask of this woman lekahuna? Sometimes a woman may call up the beis din and say, I don't want to receive a get from that first non-halachic marriage because I don't want to diminish my prospects for remarriage if it's going to prohibit me from marrying a kohen. So our Bezin's position is that that's not considered a Reya Chaget. There's a steer in Shubas HaRashvas quoting the Beis Yosef the Anderson in Yuzayin, and there's a Ramah here. The question what the Ramah means. The bottom line, our position, which was the position of Rav Avadia as well, and Rav Natan Ribat was of this opinion, that if you do a get l'chumra for, let's say, a non halachic marriage and the like, it doesn't create a reyach get to pasul l'kahuna. Rav Natan told me that he was discussing this with Rav Yashiv once, and Rav Yashiv was machmir. I found this in print in a collection of Rav Yashiv's Chuvas on Inyanei Ishus and Nisuin that Rav Yashiv was machmir on the Shaila Reyach Get. So let's call it a machlokas among contemporary poskim. There's a psak din from the Batei Din Rabbanim a couple of years ago. Rabbi Tzvi Ben Yaakov in Tel Aviv, if I recall, wrote something up where he was machmir that it does create a Reyach Get. And then, based on that, in a situation where kohen eligibility is a factor, he would be inclined not to do the get l'chumra, so not to create a reyach get problem. Our position would be that do the get l'chumra, and we're not concerned about the potential reyach get. Kohen does it to a zone as well. The zone includes Nivela Lenochri. So how do we establish Kuna for these purposes? Sometimes you have someone who is presumed to be a Kohen, and then he wants to marry a Grusha. And now he's claiming that he's not really a Kohen. So how do we establish, or are there situations in which someone believes to be a Kohen and then could reasonably conclude that that belief was an error? So Moshe has a tshuva, Ebenezer Chela Dalet Simen Lamates. Ebenezer Chela Dalet Simen Lamates. So the Baal Tshuva, who married a non-Jewish woman, now he's called to be Tshuva, and he wants to be Megayer, this woman should go through a Geirus, and he should be able to marry her. Problem is that his father told him he's a Kohen, but his father is not observant. So Moshe writes, Chela Dalet Simen Lamates Ebenezer, Hine v'dvar echad shenasa v'al tshuva achrei shekvar nasa nachris ayidei hashpas chavrei chabad. It means that he became a Baal Tshuva under the Hashpah of Chabad, not that he married enough, but under the Hashpah of Chabad. Who mi mishpacha haba mi, wherever the place was, and they had no knowledge of Torah v'yadus, and his father knew nothing. His grandfather came from this region of Russia where the communists were in control. There's clearly no observance. So the father had no Jewish chinuch. So the father, who claims that his father, who himself wasn't observant, told him that he's a Kohen of no nemanus. Especially in this case, we don't even have any evidence that the grandfather even learned in a cheder before the communists. So there's no evidence of observance whatsoever going back to the grandfather. So in such a case, where the only reason to believe that a person is a Kohen is because he heard it from a non-observant father, heard it from his non-observant father, but the family never did anything to indicate or practice kahuna, and there's no religious forebear to evidence the fact that there's kahuna. So Moshe says, you don't have to be choshish for such a representation, because it's not backed by any reality. Yeah.
Is Rav Moshe also be mitzarif there in the says therefore? Meaning because they were living together already civilly, or not civilly, but...
No, this is the case where he's married to a nachris and he wants to convert her.
Okay, fine.
That would be a gioris then. Gioris is also the Kohen, period.
No exceptions.
No exceptions. Minotaurah, presumably.
Okay, would... Just the inverse of that question would be, mm-hmm. if this guy then, I mean, I don't know how significant it is, but this guy comes into Rav Moshe Shtiebel and wants to get an aliyah. Would Rav Moshe then also say that, you know, we would be machsha that claim of kahuna?
No, not at all. Not a kohen at all. It's all or nothing. It's nothing.
So you have no amount of shir, if this were
I'm sorry?
If this weren't an Isha's Chabur right now,
right. Right. So don't give him. Right. That's the beginning of Simon Dalid. How does the person have that money? The Kohen that we're not going to talk about. But yeah, that's across the board. You wouldn't. There's no nemanus to be a Kohen. Because sometimes we have cases of people who believe that they're Kohanim who want to not be Kohanim, so there's people who aren't Kohanim who want to be Kohanim. So they have to cut about their actions. Baal Tshuva, there's no woman in the picture. It's the year that the grandfather said something about being a Kohen, so is he a Kohen? So it works in both directions.
Is this generally applied to people who don't come from religious backgrounds, that if they have no religious person, they know that and they're, you know, who's able to confirm that we don't consider them a Kohen?
So, Rav Moshe's tshuva here in print is talking about a limited situation of a case where there was nothing done to evidence the kahuna, and it was just to hear from his father, from his father, they're all from communist countries, and no one kept anything as far as we know. But David Cohn represents Meshem Rav Moshe, a much more sweeping position. David Cohn is not a Cohen. A much more sweeping position that basically anyone who comes from a non-religious background has no nemanus to say that they're Cohen, without that they're coming without, and you don't have to do any further investigation. So that extreme position without any nuance is not as accepted by Bate Din. And typically we would do more research and investigation to make a determination about kahuna one way or another. You know, generally, if there's any... In America, it is true that there were people who came to Ellis Island, like Rabbi Cohen's family, where they were assigned the name Cohen because it's a nice Jewish name. But that doesn't... So the fact that there is a last name Cohen doesn't itself create any cheskes kuna. But in Israel, it's a different calculation. You know, there's no Ellis Island or equivalent. The people who are changing their names when they moved to Israel were Hebraicizing them. They were not. They're not becoming Kohanim. So I presume that the use of the last name Cohen in Israel, maybe even Rabbi Cohen would have to acknowledge, it'd be different than in America.
Although, but that could just be that they made Aliyah 30, 40 years ago and had gone through Ellis Island originally as well.
Typically not, but be that as it may, so that's questionable. Anytime there is, do you give credence to representations on Masevos that they're identified as Kohanim? So I think most, if it was done in a cemetery under Orthodox auspices, that does have credibility. That's the famous story that the Rav told of the Baal Tshuva, who discovered that he's a Kohen and had to break up with the girl he was engaged to, and he discovered it by seeing the representation on a Maseva, the famous Rasha that the Rachman best in. Rabbi Rachman's suggestions. Yeah.
I have a question about something we previously discussed. Mm-hmm. In terms of a Kohen marrying his own, does she have Nemonas in terms of, like, it's one, like if it's W2, obviously, but everybody.
Yes, that's a major issue. You do have to be Koshesh, especially in today's day and age, last decades about by Baal Tshuva. It's an issue. You have to be dealt with sensitivity. But you can't just assume that everything's fine. It's definitely an important issue that comes up. The other, related to that, the other in a situation in which the question is whether someone is indeed a Kohen, so it could be that his father or grandfather worked around him and he's a Chalal, because maybe... his father married someone who's not eligible to be a Kohen, maybe the mother is a Zona, and then the kids are halal. So if the kids are halal, then there are no restrictions on, there are no kahuna-related restrictions on who can marry. That's also something that comes up that is part of the equation. And Siman Tes is the din of Katlanis. In just about every situation, there are kulas in Katlanis, so it doesn't come up that often. But if it, in theory, does come up, you'd have to figure out what kulas to rely on. Simon Yud is a din of Matzah Grusha. So, Hamagarish is Ishta Vacher Zinsa Mutaris Achsa Labaila. So, there's no Isser of Matzah Grusha. So, if she had to marry someone else in the interim, even if she's been dying with someone else, but that doesn't create an Isser of Matzah Grusha. So, about in this Kacha Laacher Vigirsha, Omeis Asir Lachsa Labisha. But if she had Kedushin and then Gerushin from his second husband, so then the Isser of Matzah Grusha applies. I met with a couple less than a year ago who wanted us to be Matyr the Yisr Masa Grushasa. They had been married in Eretz Yisrael years ago, and then they got divorced, and she remarried someone else. And now got back together with the first husband after many years. So that's pasuk in the Torah. We don't usually have the authority to ignore pesukim. Or maybe we could find some defect in the first kedushin, and maybe they're pasul eitim. It's all there's no indication of any of that, and I think they ended up separating. One more thing I didn't mention about kahuna, so we know that a kohen is also big ERS. A kohen is also aser to marry the product of a ger v'giyores. Ger marries a giyores, they have a daughter. That daughter is not allowed to marry a kohen. If a ger marries a regular born Yisraelis, or a giyores marries a regular born Yisrael, so then the children have no restriction of kahuna. But if it's a ger giyores that marry each other, and then they have a daughter, that daughter is going to be aser l'kohen.
What's the other case? Yeah,
ger and giyores together, the daughter's going to be also a kohen. If it's just a ger or a giyores, with a born Yisrael or Yisraelis, so then the daughter is allowed to marry a kohen.
Okay. Is there a restriction on two people who have geres l'chumah, that child
marry
a kohen?
Anytime you do a geres l'chumah, it's because you believe there's a need for a geres, or at least there's a suffix. So in a case where it's a suffix, you still be machmir. If you make a determination after the fact, that's the issue. Just like there's a reach haget, so ke'ilu is a reach hageris. But if you're to make a determination, just like a reach haget. So our position is that if you make a determination and the ikra did, the get was a neser, it's only l'chumra, but really, you push up the shav, you didn't need a get. So that doesn't create a reach haget. So ke'ilu is the same thing by a geris. If you do a geris because you didn't have all the information, and then after the fact you find out more information and make a determination that the geris really wasn't necessary. You know, the guy with the key to the house in Spain from 500 years ago now comes with a shtar yuchsin that traces his matrilineal line all the way back to Spain 500 years ago. So then he already did a geir l'chumah, but now you realize that you can prove that he's Jewish without the geris. So then you'd be mad to the person to l'kahuna. But call of mind, you haven't made that definitive determination, so then you have to be mafmir. Right? Same thing with any case of the suffix, unless it's really totally just be choshish for some shita dechuya that you did another geirah, so you can make that or have the best to make that determination. Okay, then we have the din of Havchana in Siman Yud Gimel. Kol Isha Sheniskarsha Onis Almana Harezu Lo Tinase Velo Tisare Sa'acher Achitamtin Sadiyom Chutz Miyam Sheniskarsha O Shemes Laila. So, Chutz Miyam Sheniskarsha. So there's a din of Havchana. Beishvul here points out in Sukkotan Aleph, the Gemara, it sounds like from Achlokas Amorai, whether it's a Dinder Reis or a Dinder Rabbanan. Is it a Gzeir Hashem Yisa Achoso, or is it based on Sukkim? Vishmuel says, Lalacha, it sounds like it's a Gzeir, it's only a Dinder Rabbanan. And then he says, maybe everyone agrees that it's really a Dinder Rabbanan, even Shmuel, what's a Pasuk, maybe that's only an Asmachta. It's the Shuvah thinks according to the Rambam and maybe Din Deraisa. So whether there is such a din, maybe Deraisa, maybe Derabanan, that there's an Isser for a Grusha to remarry 90 days after the day of divorce, which is really 92 days, including the day of divorce and day of remarriage. Why? So Mechaber quotes here, L'hafim means Zarisho Visho and Zarisho Lakwa. So 90 days is the period that typically takes for Hooker Ubra. So you want to be able to know whether the father of a potential child is the first husband or the second husband. Machlokas, whether you count the 90 days from the day of the Tzidus HaGet or the Nesinus HaGet, so we paskin, or Ma paskins, or Machmir for the Nesinus HaGet. So there also, there might be what to be makel if the Get is only the Chumra, so then there might be what to be makel about as far as Hachana. So you don't really, Nikra, you don't need a Get, it's civil marriage, so we require a Get L'chumra. So then there's what to be makel about regarding Hachana. But when it comes to Afkhana for a Grusha, there's a low plug. Zeres Chachamim hi'afilu isha she'enu v'yalele, even if she's 90 years old. Afilu nisgarsha nisamanam in erisin, svichu hamjim tishim yom, afilu ketan, osakena, o akara, o ailinis, afilu bayundina sayam, o siris adam, o chola, chavish beis asurim, etc. So this is an absolute low plug, no exceptions. Even where the reason of Lahafkin Bain Zara Sharishan with Zara Lashani doesn't apply.
Is there any effective Chalitza playing this?
What do you mean?
Meaning if there is Misa Sabal, but there's a younger sibling, there's a younger brother, it doesn't matter if the Chalitza is postponed, it's based on Misa Sabal.
Chalitza also has to be 90 days after the Misa Sabal. That's a different thing. Right, you can't do chalitza until, for the same reason, you can't do chalitza, yibum slash chalitza, until 90 days have elapsed from the Misa Sabal.
No, I'm saying, but the fact is, chalitza is nishas for another 90 days after the chalitza.
Correct, there's no din of hafchana after the chalitza, correct. Chalitza itself, you have to wait 90 days after the Misa Sabal, 92 days. We discussed it, maybe you need three more, but yeah.
The thing we just quoted about she for sure has to wait 90 days, is that just specifically the divorcee or even with her husband passed away? She also
Amana too. Grusha or Amana.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The din doesn't apply to Mafsir Grushasa, Sifalid. Mafsir Grushasa, there's no requirement of Havchana because there's no Baal Risha Baal Sheni. I think I have that shot at once. Even if she's mezana in the middle, I don't remember seeing that discussed. Okay. This din of Afkhan applies by a Gioris also. That's what I meant to discuss last week, but we ran out of time, so I said that we would get to it through the back door over here. This is in Sifhei over here in Simon Yogimel. It's also in the end of Hilchas Geiris, in the end of Simon Reich Samathes, Sifthes. Reis Samathes of Tess, and the Chabad writes over here in Yud Gimel Hey. Shivchav Giyores, Shahayu Nisua Sabailin, the Giyusan, Ubab Dusan, the Niskairu, Avishacharu, Tzvichas Amtin. So there's a requirement of Avchana for Giyores. Filu Gerbe Ishtosh and Niskairu, even if two non Jews are married to each other and they're converting together. Still, Mafrishim Osam Tishim Yom Kidei LaHafin Bein Zeresh Shenizu V'Kedusha LeZeresh Shenizu Shalav V'Kedusha. Even if there's no question, it's not a matter of who the father is. We know who the father is, but there's still a requirement of Kidei LaHafin Bein Zeresh Shenizu V'Kedusha LeZeresh Shenizu Shalav V'Kedusha. So the requirement of Avchana by Yoris is clearly a Din Rabbana. And here, there is more wiggle room as far as not having the same level of low plug potentially. So the chalkas b'chokek here in Sifkat and Dalit raises the question, does this then apply to ketanos or zakenos? The din of avchana by a giyores, does that only apply where there's a legitimate concern that maybe there's going to be a child that we don't know who the father is, or whether it was nisa b'gdusha shalom b'gdusha, or is it the same low plug that you have by grusha or almana? So the chalkas mechokek leaves out as a question. The dagomer vava on the side of this din in yaridei and simrei semachet. The dagomer vava assumes that there's no requirement of havchana there by zekena, where there's no potential of having a child. So the woman's already musulakas damim. Then the dagomer vava assumes that this din of havchana does not apply. So if you look in the Pesukei Teshuva here in Eben Ezra in Sifkat and Vav, he quotes the Stockholm Revival. Fine. The Ramosha has a couple of chuvas in which Ramosha discusses actually two chuvas that seem to say different things back to back. Ramosha discusses whether you could rely on a pregnancy test under certain circumstances. If the whole concern is that you want to establish whether a potential child is going to be Zeresh and Nisa B'Gdush or not, so maybe if you have a pregnancy test and can determine that the woman is not pregnant at the time of the Geirus, then you don't need the full requirement of a Chana. So Moshe has such a potential kula along the lines of the Dagal Mirvava. So under certain circumstances, we'll rely on that where there is a need. Definitely in a case where you have a couple converting together, or even if a civilly married couple with children, where there'd be hardship to require prisha on the part of the parents. So then we're much more inclined to rely on a pregnancy. That's Rabbi Rebak. We always say that when it comes to Afrasha, when it comes to Havchana, there's another value, which Ikulaki referred to as Afrasha, that if you have these people who are, if you have a non-Jewish partner of a Jew who's converting, so part of ascertaining their sincerity is to determine that the relationship, that the commitment exists beyond the relationship, so if they're living b'isser, then they have to show that they're committed to the halachic system and stop living b'isser. Most folks can assume, I think Shimon Levi is the dissenter, but most, Rav Yashiv is quoted this way, most folks can assume that if you do have chana, you can do have chana before the gerus also. It doesn't have to be that you do have chana, that you're megayah the woman, and then you have 3 months of chana. You can do the chana before the gerus also, so that's the general practice of Batei Din. If you're going to do chana, to do the chana before the gerus. The Pesukei Teshuva here in Sifkat and Hey, one second. I have the Pesukei Teshuva in Sifkat and Hey, quotes the Radbaz, that this din of Avchana doesn't apply to a Pnuya. It applies to a woman who's married, and it doesn't apply to a Pnuya. The Radbaz assumes that it does apply to a Pnuya, and the other poskim argue. So the Radbaz assumes that it applies to any Giyaris, and most poskim argue on the Radbaz, and that's the general practice that doesn't apply to a Pnuya. Yeah, Abby.
I think that answers the question, because the question is, if you're doing a Russia, we don't recognize civil marriages, not halachic marriages. We don't recognize the marriage of a non-Jew.
Right.
So the living together civilly, non-Jewish, that it does nothing for us.
Yes and no. It does something for us, because if the concern is we want to be mafim in Zeresh and Nisa B'Gdusha, Zeresh and Nisa Shalom B'Gdusha, so de facto, we know that she's living with a...
Right, but when she says she's
then
separated
require,
from him,
right.
There's no nemanis for a non-Jew.
Right.
So she comes to us and says that for the past 9 days I've been
right.
separate. I'm now Jewish as
right.
of...
Right.
5 minutes from now.
So if you're asking, what evidence do we require that they were? So you can
never,
you can never, yeah, you can never have absolute evidence. Rabbi Alan Schwartz used to ask for separate electricity bills or separate to prove separate mailing addresses. But you can never.
I think the third valid answer is that most people will say that a penuya of a non-Jew we treat as non-Jewish.
Right. Yeah, you can never know. You can never know for sure. But if there's a level of trust in the people, then they seem to be sincere.
So that means
Rabbi Willig and Rav Shachter are super makilim about avchana for giyoris because they believe that no one's they're going to fool you anyway. So there's no expectation. There's no expectation that there'll really be full hafrasha or prisha for those 3 months. So. So they're more ready to rely on a pregnancy test and not even bother.
Your people Shita?
What Shita?
Or Shafter and Rabbi?
They're very makele about hafan issues.
For Jews, for non-Jews, for Geir?
In the Geir's context.
What do you mean they makele? They rely on?
They rely on a pregnancy test and not insist on an actual separation. If they're living b'Isser, so then they should separate because they're living b'Isser.
But if they're both going to have their gears take effect at the same exact time, they won't even require them to separate?
Often not. And they rely on a pregnancy test. Then there's a din of Muberes Chavera Menekes Chavera Sifir Aleph. Gozer Chacham Shema Yisa Adam below Yekadesh Muberes Chavera. That if a woman's pregnant from a different father, so you're not allowed to marry her while she's pregnant, and then even after she gives birth, below Menekes Chavera, you're not allowed to marry a woman who's still nursing until the child is 2 years old. Even if she's not nursing, but that's still she still has the status of a menekes. Because what are we worried about? That she's going to, while she's a menekes, she's going to become pregnant again, and then she won't be able to nurse the child, and the child might die. So that's the original reason, but there's such a dinam of beres chaver menekes chavera. The machlokas tanaim in the Gemara, is it 24 months, is it 18 months? So we pass in 24 months. Ramosha has a tshuva. Sure. Ramosha seems to entertain the mekel under certain circumstances for 18 months. But what we do it get for a woman who we know to have a child under the age of 2, we'll make a notation that she's Bimei Hanaka, and that's a red flag for the prospective Masada Kedushin. If you see a Ptur dated within the last 2 years that says that the woman's either Muberes or Menekes, so you have to do the math and figure out whether she's eligible to marry her. There's certain circumstances, post and discuss Kula for Menekes. But that's something that could come up. You have to be aware of if there's any indication that that she has a child that's less than 2 years old. Starting point is that she would not allow to be remarried, and then you have to figure out if there are any potential grounds for a kula. Okay, I think we'll stop here, and next kula will be Monday, Mirtz Hashem. I'll try to send you a preview. Obviously, did you get the last one yet?
No.
Okay. Let me just give you the title so you'll have it.
Yes, okay, yesterday's is
Ishus 2 Heter Lakahol.
Okay.
And today's is 3.
Do you want to cite these sources for a second?